I'd ask you to please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, and that is page 1394. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And the subject before us this morning is casting all your care upon him. Now, the Apostle Peter, in the context of pride and humility, reminds us that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And because of this truth about the dealings of God, the only wise response to this absolute truth is to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, our worst enemy is pride. Pride resulted in the fall of man, and pride has been the worst enemy of mankind ever since that sad day. See, pride denies us all that is spiritually good, and to die in pride and rebellion denies us heaven at last through Jesus Christ. And we are told actually that pride does something to cause a response from God. Actually, pride is something that causes a response to God. God is not just, as it were, not noticing a spirit of pride. Actually, we read that God resists the proud. It causes a response from God, a resistance. If we consider this seriously this morning, friends, however can we overcome the resistance of God? There was a documentary a number of years ago about the power of the current, and they put a person in Wellingtons up, and the water was only that deep, and they began to have a current going against this person, and a flow of water got stronger and stronger and stronger, and for a while he could stand there and resist, but eventually the water overcame him. He couldn't resist totally. And so this morning, we cannot be proud and prosper at the same time. The reality of it is that God resists the proud, and we can never overcome the resistance of God. But with an attitude of humility, God responds in a totally different manner. Yes, God responds to humility. He responds to the proud by resisting the proud, but he responds also to the humble in spirit in a most wonderful way. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, lift you up in the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, we read in the book of the prophet Isaiah, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I, the one who inhabits eternity, the eternal, I am the great, the almighty God, whose name is holy, actually dwells in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. So therefore, as we humble ourselves before God, we enjoy fellowship with the high and holy one. Oh, this is the teaching of Jesus also in the New Testament. Oh, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And this was the teaching of James. He giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives his grace to the humble. James 4 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Oh, and Peter says, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And so this morning, as we consider this text, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So, if we see the context of this exhortation, the fact of the matter is closed. It's not open to negotiation this morning. God blesses the humble, but God resists the proud. It is the humble who therefore understand the significance and importance of casting all their care upon God. Notice here the wholesome nature of this call. It's about committing your whole life this morning into God's hands. It's about believing in God's care for you. It's about believing in his care for you both for time and for eternity. It's about worshipping God in humility by faith, trusting your whole being to his provision for you in Christ Jesus. You see, there is a fullness that resides in Jesus ahead. He is all and in all. There's a fullness of forgiveness. There's a fullness of reconciliation with God in Christ Jesus. There's a fullness of hope in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we are encouraged to cast all our care upon God in Christ Jesus. To cast all our care, all our life upon him. Because in him we have a fullness. In him we have salvation. In him we have reconciliation. Oh, the Apostle John spoke so beautifully about this in John chapter 1. If you turn with me to John chapter 1 and verse 12, about the fullness of Jesus Christ and our need to trust in him and in him alone. Oh, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And in verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bore witness of him, cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, there's a fullness in Jesus Christ. Oh, we can assuredly trust and cast all our care upon Jesus for our salvation and follow him as Lord, as the wise good shepherd. Oh, to cast all your care then upon God in Christ Jesus means to commit your whole being then to his care for time and eternity. It means the care of your soul this morning. It means the care of your life. It means the care of your decisions. It means the care of your relationships. It means the care of your work. It means the care of your family. It means the care of your marriage. It means the care of your friendships. It means the care of your fellowship. It means the care of your service for the Lord. It means casting all your care. God is not interested in caring just for one part of your life on the Lord's day. God is a 24/7 God. And he is concerned that his people follow him 24/7. They follow him with all their life, with all their being. And by faith they cast all their care upon him. Here is one of the great encouragement texts in all of Scripture. Because of God's promise and because of who God is, if you cast your care upon him, the faithful God, he will care for you. He does care for you. There have been those here in the past few weeks who can testify. If you went up to them after the service, they will say to you, yes, I've experienced this. God does care for me. God has brought me through very difficult times, and I can testify of the care of God in my life. Now, this morning, I just want to consider proofs of why we can be assured that God's care is to be trusted upon. How has God shown us? What evidences do we have to encourage us to trust all our being, all our life, to cast all our care upon Him? Now, this is a call for each one of us this morning. It is a call for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to come and cast all their care upon God and know His care for them. But it's also a care for those who are in the way. You will notice here the ongoing nature of this. Casting. It doesn't say cast all your care. It says casting. Oh, friends, this is a daily exercise. We begin our day, oh, Lord, help me. And we go out and we minister at home, whatever is our calling in life, knowing that God cares for us as we trust in Him. Well, how can we be assured then? How do we know? How can we encourage ourselves in the Lord about the care of God? And that's what I want to look at this morning, having laid somewhat of a foundation. Because there may be some of you here this morning that are saying, does God really care for me? How do I know? Who cares for me in any case? You may feel very lonely in your life and you wonder. I was once shown a postcard and it had a picture of a young lady on the edge of a pier. And she was looking out to the sea and there was nothing. There was no boats on the sea before. There was absolutely nothing. There was just the vast sea in front of this lady. And above it was the caption, who cares? Who cares? Well, the message this morning is God cares. God cares. And I want to show you this morning how we know that God cares. And it's a very practical message. God cares, first of all, He shows us His care through His creation. Through His creation. The body. God has demonstrated His care for humanity in a most wonderful manner in the way in which we've been created. Do you not know that we have been created in the image of God? Animals don't have souls, but you have a soul. There is an eternal part of your being. You have a soul, and you've been created in the image of God. You're most fearfully and wonderfully made. It's been increasingly recognized throughout the world that our bodies are so complex, so amazing, that they and even scientists are coming to the recognize that there must have been at the very outset an intelligent creator designer who has designed and made and created according to His wisdom the body. But then God is telling you each day by His provision towards you in creation. Every day we are reminded of God's faithfulness in creation. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. The air we breathe. You're not floating up in the ceiling this morning. You depend upon gravity. And God is telling you this morning that this earth has been made so wonderfully, it's so sensitively made, and everything is in such an order that it's not like living on the moon or on Mars, that you have air to breathe, you have light, you have a gravity which keeps you floating up into space, you have food to eat, you have clothes to wear. These are constant reminders of the provision of our Creator God. Ever since the creation of the universe, God, our Creator, has ensured that there's seed time and harvest. There are some times in His wisdom, times of judgment, when He withholds the rain for a wise purpose, sometimes not known to us, but most often in terms of judgment. But nevertheless, throughout the world, God has been faithful to His promise, seed time and harvest shall not fail. The farmer sows the seed, he leaves it in the ground. And as he's sown the seed, some of these vast fields have sown now of corn, and we're seeing the corn coming up, the fields are becoming green, and the farmer's dependent upon the sun and the rain to ensure its growth. There comes a time when it is harvested, and the crop has been dependent upon the goodness of our Creator God. Oh, who's been shopping yesterday at the supermarkets? And you've seen shelves full of food. And God's just telling you, every day of the week, I care for my creation. Every day, God is saying, He cares in His long-suffering mercy. The Bible says, nevertheless, He did not leave Himself without witness, for He did good. He gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness, constant seed time and harvest. I was talking to someone earlier in the week and said about a documentary they'd seen about Tim Peake's Time in Space, and it filmed going round the earth. You know, I think it's about 1.5 hours it takes to go round the earth. But what was interesting was, as you went round the earth, you could see the different seasons in the different parts of the earth. A constant reminder, as you're going round this earth at tremendous speed, that God is faithful. Seed time and harvest. God cares through His creation. And then God cares through the scenery He gives us. Scenery is one of the ways in which God can speak to us and humble us. Scenery is a way whereby God says to you, He cares. He cares for this earth. He cares for His creation. He cares for men and women and boys and girls and little ones. He cares. Now, we've never been so responsible in history as much as we are today about the issue of creation, because we, each of us, can travel around the universe, around the world, like we've never been able to travel before. Many of you have been in all sorts of parts of the world and on holiday, and you've had opportunities like your forefathers never had before. You've seen different parts of the world and different areas of creation and scenery, and we are more than responsible than our forefathers, because in technology we have even more reason to realize that there's a God who created this earth, and we have a God that cares. Some years ago, when we were on holiday in Switzerland, we were walking on a beautiful sunny day, and in one part you could see along the valley to another area of mountains, and the scenery was absolutely magnificent. And there was a seat there where you could sit and see this beautiful view, and our response was to sit on the seat provided, and we were so overwhelmed, we just had to praise God. We couldn't do anything else as believers but sit there and praise God, from whom all blessings flow, because God was speaking through His creation. And the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. God is speaking to you through creation. God cares. But then the Bible says also that the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. They are understood by the things that are made. That as we look at the things that are made, God is reminding us of His power, of His glory, of His majesty. God is reminding us that He cares for this world. And so the scripture says we are being reminded of His eternal power and Godhead. But then it says something very solemn. It says we are without excuse. We are without excuse. So always remember, when you go on your travels, there's something very solemn about going on the travels. There's something very solemn, actually, about going out on a walk. It's a good thing to do. It's a wonderful thing to do for our natural good, but also our spiritual good. Next time you book your holiday, do you book it with an understanding? Now, actually, this is another opportunity to be reminded of the care of God. This is another opportunity to be reminded of the wonder of God's creation. You know, Tim Peake announced this week that he intends to go back into space. And one of the reasons that he gives is that I want to see the view again. I so miss the view, this wonderful view of this wonderful planet Earth. The voice of God's creation reminding us of his power and care speaks to us like never in history. God is telling you every day in creation he cares. But then there's a second reason. God cares through your conscience. As you are made in the image of God, you have a conscience. And a conscience is unique to human beings. It's God's invisible voice within you, reminding you of what is right and what is wrong. We call it God's inner moral law. And the conscience actually is God's independent voice within you. You didn't choose to have a conscience, and there are many times you wish you didn't have a conscience. You wouldn't listen to your conscience, and you do not seek its voice. But the conscience speaks. It's God's independent voice within you. And it's another instance of the care of God for you. It is a great and inescapable evidence this morning that God cares for you. That God exists. Without the conscience, this world will be anarchy. It will be hell on earth. There is in everyone a conscience which speaks about right and wrong. We may suppress the voice of conscience by constant abuse, by sin. We may deaden its message that it becomes hardened within us. Nevertheless, we have a conscience. And on that great day of judgment, we are without excuse on this matter. God cares about you. God cares about humanity. God cares that we should know about right and wrong. He has shown his care by giving us a conscience. God has written his moral law of right and wrong within our very being. And we call these the Ten Commandments. Now, you may not be able to recite the Ten Commandments this morning. That's not the issue I'm talking about here. The issue is that God's already put his Ten Commandments in your heart, in your soul. You had it in your conscience. You were born with a conscience. You didn't have any choice about this matter. You are responsible before God. You have a conscience. And it's already written in your hearts, God's moral law, and it speaks to you. And God's conscience is a proof of God's existence, actually. Every time an atheist, so professing atheist, actually says, talks about right and wrong, they're actually telling them, though we don't believe in God, actually we're telling you there is a God. Because without the moral conscience, they wouldn't know between right and wrong. The Bible says, men and women show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. You remember the story, the account of the Lord Jesus and the woman that was brought to her, caught in adultery. Oh, she's been caught in the very act. And Jesus said, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And we need to understand this as the Lord's people, and understand that when we judge one another, we in effect judge ourselves. Verse 9, then those who had heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. God is telling you through your conscience that he cares, but there is an even more wonderful way in which God is telling you he cares this morning, not only through creation, not only through your conscience, but thirdly, through Christ. And this is the most supreme way which God is telling us this morning that he cares. God is holy, and God requires perfection. We are not able to meet this moral law that God has put within us. And we all sin, we disobey God, and we all deserve the punishment of a just God because of that disobedience. And God cannot compromise with sin. And so in this situation, by nature, we are in an absolutely helpless condition. But God cares. And in His love, and on our behalf, He has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this world. The Bible says, in this was manifested, shown, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into this world, that we might live through Him, here in His love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the atonement for our sins. And this precious Jesus, the Son of God, lived a perfect life. But then He suffered the wrath of God because of our sin on the cross. He bore the eternal punishment and died on behalf of all those who put their trust in Him. And by this sacrifice, He satisfied God's justice completely on our behalf. Jesus died on the cross to get the victory over sin, and He rose again to get the victory over death. And so the death and resurrection of Jesus is the greatest evidence in this world that God cares. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, for your sakes, because God cares for you, He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might become rich. Oh, after His resurrection, Jesus showed so many times He cared. He met with Peter, especially, go and tell Peter, the one who's backslidden, my disciples and Peter, don't forget Peter. Yes, he's blasphemed my name, he's cursed and sworn against me, but don't forget Peter. And when He came to Peter, oh, Peter, do you love me? Oh, He came to him so kindly, so caring, so graciously. And you will notice that many times when Jesus appeared after His resurrection, in those 40 days, the first words He uttered were, "Peace be unto you. I care for you. This is what I want for you." On another occasion, He even prepared breakfast for His disciples on the beach. He gave these instructions to Peter to care for souls as the kind and loving shepherd. And now, as we speak, Christ is in heaven at the Father's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us as the sympathizing and great high priest. Oh, God is telling you this morning, through Christ, that He cares. Cast in all your care upon Him, because He cares for you. But then, God cares through conversion. Jesus explained, after His death, He would send to this world His Holy Spirit. And the work of the Holy Spirit would be to direct people in the truth of God's word, to convict people of their sin, and to lead them unto Christ. And it is only God, in His kindness, in His care, through His Holy Spirit, who can convert a person and bring them from darkness into light. We had the privilege of hearing three testimonies this week at the church meeting for baptism and membership. And every testimony is telling us God cares. Every conversion is telling us God cares. And thousands upon thousands of 10,000s upon 10,000s who've lived in this world are testimony to the fact that God cares. God came to them. God called them by His grace. God brought them from darkness to light. And their lives have been transformed. We've been given hope and purpose, peace and spiritual joy. And we are proving and witnessing in this world, even in the midst of deep trial, and even in the midst of tribulation, God cares. We've been converted. We've been called. We've been drawn to the Savior to trust in Him. But then God cares then through the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. I'm using picture language here. Could come alongside us to comfort us and to cleanse in Christ, helping Christian believers to gain assurance through the promises of God, helping believers to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the glorious work of the Holy Spirit is actually not to bring attention to himself, as so many people try to teach nowadays in churches, that all the emphasis is upon the Holy Spirit. We want a Spirit-teach ministry. We want a Spirit-filled ministry. We want to be members who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, for sure. But actually, biblically, the work of the Holy Spirit is to bring light upon Christ. It is to magnify Christ. It is not to speak of himself. It is to magnify Christ. It's like a floodlight on a building. It's sunken in the ground, and it looks up, and it lights up the magnificent edifice of a cathedral or whatever it might be. You don't see the floodlight. You see the light, and you see the building. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Jesus said, when the Comforter is come, he will send you unto, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me, the Lord Jesus Christ. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in truth, into all truth. He shall not speak of himself. He shall not bring attention unto himself. But whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Oh, as God comforts us through his word by his Spirit, he's telling us he cares. He cares. But then God cares through the canon of Scripture. The Bible. This is what we call the Bible, the canon of Scripture. The Word of God has been inspired by God the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is God's gift of truth to you. It's centered in Christ Jesus. God has given us his creation. God has given us his Son. God has given us his Spirit. God has given us his Scripture, his Word. And every time you open the Bible, it's a reminder to you this morning of the faithful care of God. He's given you a book written by himself. That is, written by man, but inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, to ensure that only what God intends to be in Scripture is in Scripture. And the very fact you have a Bible in front of you this morning, the very fact you have it open, the very fact you are following this message through the Scripture, God is telling you this morning that he cares. He cares. And then God cares through his church. Through the church, God cares spiritually. He provides pastors to preach and to counsel, deacons to care, members to care for one another. The Bible said, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may also be of good comfort, that I know your state, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, who will care for you as a pastor. God cares then through committed workers. God cares spiritually and practically through the various ministries. The church actually should be the most effective way of demonstrating to the world that God cares. Why is it so important to have two services on the Lord's Day? It's two opportunities for visitors to come. If we just have a service in the morning, we don't have a service in the evening, and someone in Ashford desires to, and is moved by the Spirit, perhaps under conviction, I must go and hear the Word of God. If we've shut our doors, is that saying that we care? So for no other reason than this, and this is a good reason, we have a morning and an evening service to show this community that we care. If you can't make it in the morning, come in the evening. If you can't make it in the evening, come in the morning. But if we don't have a service in the evening and people can't make it in the morning for one reason or another, are we saying to them, well, we're not really caring about you really, it doesn't really matter. We just shut the doors, and if you can't come in the morning, that's it. No, friends. There's a morning and evening sacrifice in Scripture, and we must hold to that as a church. I know many churches in Ashford have stopped this over the years, but we mustn't fall down into this trap. The devil likes the doors to be shut. And we need the church to be open. God is telling us through his church that he cares. But then as we come to conclusion, God cares through his crown. The resources of this earth are limited. The resources of our body and mind are limited. But the resources of God are infinite. His love is infinite. His power is infinite. His grace is infinite. His kindness is infinite. His care is infinite. His wisdom is infinite. And for all those who put their trust in God will find that his resources are limitless and abundant for time and eternity. God cares in time and for all eternity. God will never stop caring, even in heaven. God will never stop caring for you, even in heaven. Oh, heaven will be a perfect place. But it's perfect because of who God is. And it's perfect because of God. God loves. And it's perfect because God cares. And God cares for his people for time and eternity. And God will prove through his infinite resources in glory that he cares. Oh, 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Well, God cares for this world, what he will show through Christ's second coming. When the world will come to an end and Jesus Christ will come again as the great judge, he cares for his justice, yes. God cares for his love. He cares for his grace. He cares for his church. But he also cares for his church, for his justice. And there will come a time at the end of the world when the believer and the unbeliever will be eternally separated because God cares for his justice. He cares for his church. He cares about Christ's finished work at Calvary. And if we want to be amongst that number which no man can number, the number of God's sheep, oh, this morning, we need to understand. We need to cast all our care upon him. Yes, it means humbling yourselves before God. It means saying to God, Lord, I realize I've been a sinner and a rebel. I realize that I've gone in my own wisdom and I've thought so highly of myself. I've been proud. I've been independent. But Lord, I know that God resists the proud now, and I cannot hope to have heaven in such an attitude of mind. And so therefore, O Lord, with this absolute truth in mind, I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, that I may be exalted in Christ, ultimately exalted into glory. And I cast all my care upon God, the care of my life, the care of the future, all my care, because I believe by faith that God cares for me. What is a reasonable response to such care? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. I conclude by quoting two verses of a hymn, of two hymns actually, one verse in each hymn. And they're so beautiful, they came to my mind in meditation this morning. O Lord, I would delight in thee, and on thy care depend. To thee in every trouble flee, my best, my only friend. O Lord, I cast my care on thee, I triumph and adore. Henceforth my great concern shall be to love and praise thee more. Amen.